out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 5th of February 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've got some news from Hollywood today. The Daily Nationalist goes to the movies, and I'm sure most of you will already be aware of what we're going to be discussing here. Liam Neeson's politically incorrect comments about black rapists. And I guess we should begin by just looking at exactly what it is that he has said. There's been an almighty backlash against this. They're talking about his movie career is now ruined. He's not going to be asked to present the Oscars, even though he hasn't been invited to host the Oscars. Apparently, Twitter has been full of people attacking him. It's been headline news all around the world. Piers Morgan has accused him of being the Ku Klux Klan, and this is the purest form of racism ever. And really, when you think about it, he's not saying anything that shocking. Liam's new movie sees the action star take on the role of a father intent on revenge after his son has been killed in a drug feud, with Liam revealing in a recent interview that he understands his character's motivation. So there's the context of this. He's talking about a film where a father wanted to take revenge, and we've all had feelings of wanting to take revenge against somebody for things that have been done to us or things that have been done to our friends or family. We have a justice system to assuage those feelings of us wanting to take revenge. We put criminals on trial and the vengeance comes from the state, and it proportions the blame for an action and it proportions the punishment, and part of that, as well as attempting to rehabilitate the criminal, part of that is the society's need for there to be righteous punishment for crimes against society. So it is natural to wish to want to take revenge, and it's also natural to wish to take that out on things. Sometimes people take this out on inanimate objects. They may punch walls. They may smash things. They may lose control of their emotions and just punch cardboard boxes. Some people may just go out and look for a fight. I mean, this is just the human condition. Sometimes people do behave like this. And that's what he was referring to. He wasn't talking about going out and lynching blacks. He was just talking about the anger that you feel when somebody close to you has been hurt, and that's what this film is about. That's what this film is concentrating on. So he was explaining that he understood the character. He explained, there's something primal. God forbid you've ever had a member of your family hurt under criminal conditions. So he's saying that it's a primal urge that you have to get revenge. And he continued that after coming home from an overseas trip, years ago, now remember that, years ago, he was told a loved one, who he does not name, had been raped. Liam said, she handled the situation of the rape in the most extraordinary way, but my immediate reaction was, I asked, did she know who it was? No, she didn't. What colour were they? She said, it was a black person. He continued, I went up and down areas with a cosh, hoping I'd be approached by somebody, I'm ashamed to say that, and I did it for maybe a week, hoping some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him. He went on, it took me a week, maybe a week and a half to go through that. She would say, where are you going? And I would say, I'm just going out for a walk. You know, what's wrong? No, nothing's wrong. He admitted it was a horrible time and he's learned a valuable lesson from his awful reaction. And he added that growing up in Northern Ireland during the Troubles has given him insight into the primal need for revenge and how destructive that can be. So that's basically what happened. Now, there are a few points about this that we can hone in on. He's talking about Northern Ireland, and he's talking about years ago. There probably were no blacks in the part of Northern Ireland that he was brought up in. And if this woman had been raped by a Negro, the chances are that if he did bump into a Negro in that area, it probably was the rapist. You're not talking about the situation now where the place is flooded with them. You're talking about them being a very, very small proportion of the population. And people are getting excited because he said, black bastard. And what does he mean by that? Well, he means he was hoping that somebody black was going to start a fight. When he says bastard, he means somebody that's not very nice. Somebody that deserves to get punched. Somebody that's a real piece of dirt, basically. He wasn't saying that I was just looking for any black person. He's saying I was looking for a black bastard so that I could then go and attack him and get out his anger. He wasn't saying that as if he wanted to be using offensive language against blacks. He might as well have said I was hoping for some black thug, or hoping that some black guy might come out and try and mug me. That's all that he's referring to. And then people are saying, well, why was his question, what colour were they? Well, why would he question what colour the rapist was? Perhaps there had been a spate of rapes by Negroes in the area, and perhaps it was being covered up, just like it is today. One white woman is raped by a Negro every 15 minutes in America. Every 15 minutes. And the statistics show that there are no black females that are ever raped by white males. It's entirely the other way around. And this just doesn't get talked about. Blacks have a very high propensity for rape. So instead of asking why was he asking that, people are just condemning him for this. Condemning him for wanting to take out his vengeance on, they are saying, anyone from the black community. But he's not saying anyone from the black community. He's not calling all blacks black bastards. He is specifically saying he was looking for a particular type of black person that he could then take out his emotions on, rightfully take out his emotions. And then he admits that it was a horrible time. And it was an awful reaction. And it's probably quite a common reaction that people would have. A lot of people blame the black community for the behaviour of individual blacks, rightly or wrongly. A lot of people will think, look, can you not get your community under control? They are responsible for the majority of muggings and rapes in whatever area it is that they're in. And people think, well, can't you keep your people in order? Now, we see the same thing with Islam. In fact, the government says that Islam and the liberal Islamics, they should be keeping the extremist Muslims in order. They should be reporting to the police if they have suspicions of extremist Muslims in their mosques, if they have suspicions of grooming gangs. The Muslim community is expected to police, self-police its own people. So is it really that different to expect the black community to take responsibility for the delinquents that there are among it? And if you put the boot on the other foot with this, And you think about when Negroes have been slighted by whites, they certainly take it all out on white people. There was a famous book in the 60s, and I can't quite remember the name of it. I mentioned it a couple of weeks back, and it was written by a black radical. And in his book, he talks about how he got his own back against white people for racism by raping white women. And this was a huge best-selling book and a celebrated Negro author that was writing this. And we see the whole of Germany is blamed for gassing Jews. And we're constantly hearing about white guilt and white privilege, calls for reparations to be paid by today's white generation for perceived slights against Negroes 200 years ago. And they're still blaming all whites today. So it's a little bit rich that they are claiming that he was blaming all blacks for the rape of this woman, when he wasn't blaming all blacks in the first place. He was just looking for a delinquent one. He was looking for one that was a real bastard that he wouldn't feel bad about killing, basically. And I guess he was saying kill as a euphemism. He wanted to beat someone really badly. He wanted to beat a black guy really badly, a nasty black guy, because a nasty black guy had raped his friend or raped his girlfriend or whoever it was that's close to him. This is an understandable feeling. And the people that are attacking him are absolute hypocrites for thinking that they wouldn't be feeling the same. And it's very brave of him to say this, but probably not too clever to be saying it in front of a journalist. Probably not, it's probably something that he regrets, I would suggest, but he has yet to actually make any statement on it. And I've got some more news from Hollywood to get into as well, which you may or may not have heard about. And this concerns Mary Poppins, of all people, who's been accused of being a racist. Dame Julie Andrews' performance as Mary Poppins is racist, says a US academic who accuses her of blacking up when her face is covered with soot and she dances with chimney sweeps. The scene in which Poppins joins Dick Van Dyke's Bert and his fellow sweeps on a rooftop for the song Stepping Time is one of the best-loved moments in the 1964 Disney classic. But writing in the New York Times under the headline Mary Poppins and a Nanny's Shameful Flirting with Blackface, Professor Daniel Pollock Peltzner attacks the scene. Now, I looked up Daniel Pollock Peltzner, and it appears that he attended a Kahila Jewish high school, and he certainly looks very Jewish. And again, this is something that we see Jews doing a lot, attacking white people whilst pretending to be white. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous to accuse Mary Poppins of blacking up. He admits that this was soot from the chimney sweeps. And what is blacking up anyway? It's just acting. It's just pretending to be black. What are we saying, that blacks don't actually have black skin? When white people were playing Negroes, they should have just spoken like Negroes and not darkened their skin. We use makeup and special effects to make younger actors look as if they are old. What's wrong with actors pretending to be black? They would say, well, what about using black actors? Well, there weren't any black actors. And at the time, they didn't have the technology that's necessary to actually use black actors. You would never have been able to see any expression on their faces. And if you look at the film technology that they had, especially in black and white, you wouldn't be able to see anything at all. They have to have special lighting so that you can actually see the expression on Negroes' faces. You couldn't have had black actors until fairly recently. And he's attacking Mary Poppins just for getting soot on her face. The literature professor acknowledges that Poppins' face is covered with soot because she has gone up the chimney with her charges, Michael and Jane Banks. But, he writes, her face gets covered with soot, but instead of wiping it off, she gamely powders her nose and cheeks and gets even blacker. So he's saying that because she wasn't politically correct and wasn't an activist against blackface and immediately removed it out of deference to Negroes, she must be a racist. I mean, once again, this is projecting today's ridiculous standards onto people of the past. He also links the scene to racism in the books by P.L. Travers, particularly in the 1943 novel Mary Poppins Opens the Door, when a housemaid screams at a sweep, "Don't touch me, you black heathen." Well, that's exactly the sort of language that people used in 1943. How did he think people referred to Negro slaves or recently released Negro slaves who were heathens, who still are heathens in a lot of places? Even the ones that pretend to be Christian in Haiti have turned it into voodoo rituals. And even today, I mean, we've got white folks that call themselves heathens. Heathens just meant that they weren't Christian. And what's wrong with calling somebody black if they are black? That's what they prefer to be called, isn't it? He writes, the 1964 film replays this racial panic in a farcical key. When the dark figures of the chimney sweeps step in time on a roof, a naval buffoon, Admiral Boom, shouts, "We're being attacked by Hottentots," and orders his cannon to be fired at the cheeky devils. And you've also got to remember when Mary Poppins was written, which is probably 150 years ago, I would have thought. I don't think it's a recent story. He continues, "We're in on the jokes such as it is. These aren't really black Africans. They're grinning white dancers in blackface. It's a parody of black menace. It's even posted on a white nationalist website as evidence of the film's racial hierarchy." It's not grinning white dancers in blackface. It's chimney sweeps. And if you think at the time, the chimney sweeps were white children that were sent up chimneys. Many of them died. They got rickets. They were starved. They were sold to the chimney sweep. And they were effectively slaves. And what did the white British people do about that? They did nothing about it. They campaigned for Negroes to be freed in America while their own children were being shoved up chimneys and dying early in Britain. There's even a satire of this. I forget which famous author that it was by. And he pointed this out, that these liberal hand-wringers in Britain were complaining about the treatment of Negroes thousands of miles away when their own white children were being mistreated and dying young and being forced to go up chimneys over here in Britain. If anything, it's white people that should be offended at this, that the chimney sweeps were treated as if they were a funny dance troupe, when in actual fact they really badly mistreated these young children. Extraordinarily, Pollack Peltzner has even found fault with the recently released sequel, Mary Poppins Returns, starring Emily Blunt. He said he was surprised by the song A Cover Is Not the Book because of its reference to a wealthy widow called Hyacinth McCaw, who wears only a smile plus two feathers and a leaf. Well, what's wrong with that? You've got to think about the time that this was written. And that is what Negroes used to wear. I know they like to fantasize today that they had flying pyramids and lived in Wakanda. But the truth is, they just ran around naked until white people taught them how to wear clothes. In the original 1934 book, Mary Poppins, the character, is a scantily clad Negro lady who addressed the nanny in a minstrel dialect. The racial references were removed in a 1981 revision of the book. Well, how ridiculous to pretend that we were all politically correct back then and that these sort of things didn't exist. What's wrong with saying that Negroes spoke in a minstrel dialect? What's wrong with describing a Negro as a scantily clad Negro lady? Most of them are scantily clad. They were well known for that. And as I say, they used to just run around naked in the wilds. Anyway, let's finish with our Hollywood news for today. If you just end up feeling grubby just mentioning the word Hollywood. We've also got some more interesting news that's happening in London. Some more statistics. We've had a lot of statistics recently. This is some more crime statistics from London. Almost half of all knife crime in London is carried out by children or teenagers. It has been revealed. Shocking new statistics from the Met show that 41% of knife crime offenders are now aged between 15 and 19. Meanwhile, a further 8% of offenders are even younger, ranging in age from 10 to 14. And you can make a safe bet that the majority of these are black. As we mentioned last week, young black children are 18 times more likely to be in young offender institutions than white people. So all of this, at least half of this crime that's being carried out by the kids, that's going to be black kids. The majority of the knife crime, the majority of all the violent crime that's being carried out in London is being carried out by blacks, and yet the government are too timid to identify the actual groups that are responsible for it. You've also got the influence that this has on the white kids of that age. If the Negroes are all running around carrying knives, then the white kids are going to have to start carrying knives as well. Otherwise, they're just going to be at risk of being stabbed. They haven't got anything to protect themselves with. And all of this is brought about by multiculturalism. It's all brought about by mixing the races together in an unnatural situation in one territory, and things are only going to get worse. And what's our Home Secretary's response to this? Our Home Secretary, the son of a Pakistani bus driver, Sajid Javid, well, he has launched a crackdown on Britain's knife crime epidemic. Well, I haven't actually seen much evidence of the epidemic slowing down, but he's launched a crackdown on it, warning knife crime prevention orders could be issued to anyone aged 12 or over who is believed by police to routinely carry a blade, and also be imposed on people with prior convictions for knife-related offences. Well, he obviously came up with the idea for this knife crime prevention order before the news came out that 8% of offenders are younger than 12, or aged between 10 to 14. Also, what we've got here is that these knife crime prevention orders can be imposed on people who police believe carry a blade, so they may not have actually been prosecuted for carrying a knife. So I can see that there will be calls of racism here, and that young black kids are being forced to go on these knife crime prevention orders when they haven't actually been prosecuted with anything. So I can see that that's going to cause problems. But just wait until you hear what these knife crime prevention orders actually contain. Officials said the move aims to enhance police powers by filling a gap which is not covered by existing preventative measures, such as gang injunctions and criminal behaviour orders. Under the new powers, subjects could be required to abide by curfews and geographical restrictions and attend knife crime awareness courses, as if these young Negroes aren't aware of what damage a knife can actually do. I mean, the reason they're carrying these knives is so that they can use them on people, so they can use them as a weapon, and they think that by telling them that knives could hurt people, that they're not going to go around stabbing one another. I mean, this is what is so ridiculous about this. They put programs on the television attempting to show the damage that is caused by knives, but these are the sort of people that throw acid in people's faces and boast about killing one another and have scorecards. You know, they have these scorecards where if they carry out a stabbing or a mutilation or an acid attack or a murder, they get points for it. It's almost like a game for them among these gangs. And they think that by showing these kids a video showing people that have been stabbed up and the after effects of it, they think that's going to prevent them from carrying knives. That's going to make them all want to carry knives all the more, because they think that by carrying them, they will be able to defend themselves against being attacked themselves. The orders could also include restrictions relating to social media use in order to prevent the rapid escalation of rival disputes. That's if they're clever enough to actually use social media. These measures would be tailored to the individual case, but they could, for example, limit access to particular sites or bar contact with specific people online. Although they are civil orders, breaches will be a criminal offence that could result in up to 2 years in prison upon conviction. So they think that by saying to these kids, you're banned from going on this website, you're banned from going to this McDonald's, and we're going to make you watch this video, they think that is going to prevent them from getting stabbed up. They'll just go to a different area. They'll just move to a different area and do their drug dealing in a different area. This is no measure at all to prevent these crimes from happening. We should be deporting the people that get caught doing this. We should be deporting the whole families if they brought up kids that are doing things like this. We've welcomed them into our country. We've said, you're welcome to live here. We'll give you housing. We'll give you education. We'll give you medical care. And if they then raise children that just go out stabbing one another, obviously it's been a failure. They came here under false pretenses. They didn't come here looking for asylum from this sort of thing happening in their own countries, because they're carrying it out in our countries. They didn't come here because they wanted a better life, because they brought a much worse life with them. They've brought a much worse life for the British people by coming over here looking for a better life. The way to solve this problem is segregation. Segregation. And they keep saying that we need more blacks in the police force, we need more black judges, that will prevent these crimes from happening somehow. Well, just segregate the white from the black and then say to the blacks, yes, you can have all black police, you can have all black judges, and just see whether that cuts the crime down. It will cut down the crime in the white areas. It will cut down the crime in the white areas by 50 to 75%. And in the black areas, it will still be exactly the same. But at least the white areas will be free from it. Just before we finish, let's have a look at what we can actually find out about race and crime officially. This is from Wikipedia, and this is race and crime in London. Figures from the Office for National Statistics showed that in 2007, an estimated 10.6% of London's population of 7,556,000 were black. So just bear in mind, that's 2007, that's over 12 years ago now. Evidence shows that the black population in London boroughs increases with the level of deprivation. How does the evidence show that? I would say that the evidence is actually the other way around. When the blacks move into an area, the level of deprivation goes up. It's when the blacks move into an area that the area becomes deprived, because they're not capable of maintaining civilization, let alone throwing their litter in the bin and not robbing one another. Evidence shows that the black population in London boroughs increases with the level of deprivation. So when an area gets poor, all the blacks move in because poverty acts like a magnet to them. No, it's the other way around. And that the level of crime also increases with deprivation. No, the level of crime increases with the level of blacks, such that it is clear that ethnicity, deprivation, victimization, and offending are closely and intricately interrelated. Yes, they are interrelated. It's ethnicity that causes the deprivation and the victimization and the offending. And what the government are saying is that it's deprivation that causes the blacks to move in there, and it's deprivation that causes the crime and the victimization and offending. And that's just not true, because there are plenty of white areas that are also in poverty and they don't have the same problem. In June 2010, through a Freedom of Information Act request, the Sunday Telegraph obtained statistics on accusations of crime broken down by race from the Metropolitan Police Service. The figures showed that the majority of males who were accused of violent crimes in 2009-2010 were black. And don't forget, only 10% of London is black, and yet the majority of males accused of violent crimes were black. So that's over five times as many as it should be. Of the recorded 18,091 such accusations against males, 54% accused of street crimes were black, for robbery, 58%, and for gun crimes, 67%. Robbery, drug use, and gang violence have been associated with black people since the 1960s. In the 1980s and 1990s, the police associated robbery with black people. And we also had much less robbery going on back then when the police did associate it with Negroes. In 1995, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner Paul Condon said that the majority of robberies in London were committed by black people. How racist of him. And when they say street crimes, it includes muggings, assault with intent to rob, and snatching property. Black males accounted for 29% of the male victims of gun crime and 24% of the male victims of knife crime. So they also make up more of the victims. So they're doing this to one another, but they're also doing it to whites. On sex offences, black men made up 32% of male suspects, three times as many as they should be. Similar statistics were recorded for females. On knife crime, 45% of suspected female perpetrators were black, for gun crime, 58%, and for robberies, 52%. So it's the females as well that are doing this, because they have suggested that it's the idolisation of the black gangster, the idolisation of the rapper that has caused this, that they don't have good enough role models. Well, what about the women? Where are these female role models that go out robbing and shooting? There aren't any. This is quite clearly an ethnic problem. And just after this section in Wikipedia, it's a very, very brief section, and those statistics had to be called for with the Freedom of Information Act. And they're back from back then in 2010. I mean, God knows what it is now. It must be far higher than this. Probably about 90% of all crime in London is carried out by non-whites. But just after this section, it has race in the media. And it says young men, particularly young black men, are commonly stereotyped as engaging in criminal behaviour. And the whole of the previous section has just been telling us that this is not a stereotype. This is accurate. It is accurate to say that young black men are commonly involved in criminal behaviour. And yet they claim that the media has been stereotyping them as that. And of course, today we see blacks portrayed as doctors and lawyers, and whenever we see knife crime, it's whites carrying it out. We've just got a new anti-rape commercial, and it's a young white man on there rather than a grooming gang. And has any of this stereotyping whites as the bad guys, has this brought down the violent crime in London? No, it hasn't. As we learned recently, violent crimes increased by 14%, I think it is. It's about a 20% increase in just about all crimes since they stopped stereotyping Negroes as criminals on the television. So that is obviously not what's causing it either. It is so obvious that it is ethnicity that causes this. And until they face up to that and do something about it, it's just going to continue. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.